Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Tuesday, January 24th. Thursday. When you're on the road, you lose track of the days. It's Thursday, but I did get the day right, January 24th. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter. We're approaching 6,000 Twitter followers right now. And you can become a fan on Facebook, just over 53,000 fans there. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order.
So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I apologize about yesterday's show. Y'all know the longtime listeners. This is our fifth year of broadcasting, and sometimes the internet gods and the powers that be just don't cooperate, and we had like zero service yesterday from the time we got to the local campground. And then Jen yesterday, we're currently on traveling with her job. She took the car over to the testing site with her students, so I didn't have a car to actually get or go find a Wi-Fi hotspot or anything like that. So I was just like a duck paddling in circles. So I did beg, borrow, and steal a short connection so I could at least post that there would be no show so people would know I was all right and everything was okay. We just had zero internet connectivity. But today I said, okay, we'll fix that problem. Came over and dropped Jen off at the training center for testing for her students. Yeah. And so we actually are in a place where we've got some internet connectivity for today's show. So I'm glad to be here. Glad you are joining us today. An exciting day. We've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, that's going to be joining us. And today's topic is going to be buying bulk food to save some money. And so he's going to be joining us about 12:15. He'll be on, and we'll run through until about 1:05, 1:10 today. And then, of course, no radio show tomorrow. Y'all know that. That's been planned for quite some time. We will literally be on the road driving down I-75 south into the great state of Florida, heading down to Orlando for the weekend. So we've got that going on. So no radio show tomorrow, but we anticipate returning on Monday with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. This coming Monday, it'll be part two of All About the Feather. Y'all can go back if you want to listen to the archive show of part one, All About the Feather, in case you missed it or want to refresh. And then this coming Monday, Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, All About the Feather. So do you hear what I hear? Do you hear that in the background? That could only mean one thing, and that is that Pat Forman is joining us today. So let's give it up for Pat Forman, the compost queen herself. Hey, Pat.
Yeah, traveling and broadcasting on the road can be very challenging, but you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Thanks for joining us today. We've got one of your great friends, Richard Frudenberger, is going to join us here in a little bit.
Richard's more than a friend. He's like extended family to me, so he's
awesome.
Amazing.
I've known Richard for
25 years now, something like that.
Wow, that's absolutely awesome. Yeah, I've got to get up there and see his place. But we've got exciting news because today, sometime during the show, we're going to be giving away a one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine. And we know
you're just
going to love it so much, whoever's going to win that. We're going to give them away periodically throughout the year here in 2013. So it's going to be awesome, and you're just going to love it. You can go to backhomemagazine.com and subscribe yourself. If you don't win, of course, it's 6 issues every other month, packed full of stuff. You can order back issues for topics that you may be interested in, because the information never gets old. This is stuff, you know, keep those magazines, put them in a file folder, and then you can go back and refer to them year after year after year. They're absolutely awesome, the great information that Richard has in his magazine, plus that he shares here on the radio show. So if you love the show, you're going to love his publication. It's been, I forget however many, 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 many years, a couple of decades now or longer.
Back Home Magazine has the original staff from the original
Correct.
Mother Earth News. You
Correct.
Know, so they go back, and the experience of their writing just goes back. How long was that? Let's ask Richard when they first started Mother Earth News. And then Mother Earth News moved to, I guess, the big city, and the staff decided to stay behind and create Back Home. And you're right about the magazines not going outdated. I mean, I've got about 2 boxes of Back Home magazines, and sometimes I'll just as soon sit down and flip through those as try to find something on a TV, and it's amazing what's on there, what they've got in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, cooking with cast iron and and preserving apples with Old Tommy techniques, and just all the topics that you hear on the radio show are topics from his magazines. I think today's topic is back from a magazine number 98 or from the year 1998. Anyway, so a lot of the topics we have on the show are taken from the articles in current issue or past issues of his magazine. So absolutely is really awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not that expensive either. But hey, wait,
no.
I've got an announcement. Can I share an announcement with you here?
You can share anything you want to, absolutely.
Oh, anything? Hey, everyone heard that.
You heard it first here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, right here.
Right here, right here. Well, this is something I've been working on. We've been working on. It's not just me. For probably 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
For probably 4 years. So finally, we've got the very first, the premier intensive weekend for the Chickens and New Training Series. It's 9 courses we're going to pack into 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we've reserved First Landing State Park at Virginia Beach to hold this
mm-hmm.
at. And, yeah, so we're going to be doing it. At the end of this workshop, we absolutely guarantee that you will know, who all the participants that come will know how to keep and employ chickens to be able to help feed yourself for the rest of your life. So we've got the courses in there that include, of course, the why chickens are so important to start with. We've got about how to manage mm-hmm. laying hens for production, the brooding part, extraordinary eggs. We've got a whole section on the science and chemistry of cooking with eggs and why they're
mm-hmm.
so important nutritionally. The poultry's primary health care, poultry's pharmacy, residential composting and biomass recycling with chicken helpers. You know, people don't realize we could save so much in taxpayer dollars and create topsoil just with chickens in the backyards. We've got the way and the incubating eggs.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we have a whole evening on chicken whispering, Discover the Chicken You Never Knew, and people are encouraged to bring their own chickens. Chickens under 16 are free, and they'll be part of the curriculum. So that's the First Landing State Park, and it's on the first weekend in March 2nd and 3rd. There in Virginia Beach, it's limited to 40 participants, so we're keeping it small so we can keep it intense. It is going to be so much fun. Oh, my God, it's going to be so much fun. So anyway, thanks for letting me share that on the air.
How do people register,
I've been working
Pat?
On this for ages.
How do people
register? Thank you. We're just go to chickensandyou, A-N-D-Y-O-U, chickensandyou.com, and then there's links there that they can go to register. We're using Eventbrite as the registration registration mechanism. So chickensandyou.com, which is just loaded with all other kinds of information there as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
So anyway, I am just so excited. This is, for me, it's like a dream come true, Whisper, that we could take a course like this. We're prepared to go into any city and train the whole city if people want us to do that. So you've got a cohort there of folks that know how they can handle chickens and employ them, not just keep them for eggs, but employ them to raise food. I mean, I think it could really help quantum leap local agriculture all across the country, maybe across the world, but I tend to think big. I get excited about small things, too. Yeah.
That is fabulous. Yeah, absolutely. Got to love it. And so that's March, I think you said, the 2nd and 3rd.
March
Virginia
2nd
Beach.
And 3rd. Yep. And at the end of the class.
So go check it out. Yeah.
End of the class, we award the Backyard Chicken Keeper Certification with a diploma suitable for framing.
Awesome. Now, let me ask, will there be coffee and bagels available for the participants? Your Pat Special Blend.
Oh, my God. If I have coffee then during this weekend, I would be so high. I would absolutely be manic the whole time. No, really. I don't know. Yes, we will have coffee. And in fact, have you ever been to a workshop where they don't provide coffee or they have a vegan diet? And people just go crazy because they get real moody. And no, there'll be 2 lunches and a dinner, really gourmet food provided, as well as all the refreshments that people could want, coffee, tea, soda, that sort of thing. So, yeah,
you need
it's,
to
a,
get,
it's a full-fledged intensive 2-day. Get
you
ready.
Need to get Heritage Chef Steve Pope for one of your events.
Yeah, that'd be fabulous. That'd be fabulous. Who knows? Well, we don't have currently have a section on cooking, and we don't cover processing during this weekend either. This is more for the backyard gardening
as well. As, no, I'm saying,
but we
could come
and
prepare the meals for the attendees.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now this is just the first of one of two intensive weekends. We've got 20 courses total. This is just 9 of them. So the master backyard chicken keeper, you need to take a few more courses, and that does include preparing chicken and a couple options. It's all there on the chickensandyou.com website.
Sweet. Sounds like a plan. Spreading the chicken love all across the country. We have, speaking of that and getting educated on chickens, we have finalized the first quarter Chicken Whisperer tour with Tractor Supply. I'm going to see if I can, just by memory, without having to go back to the email, kind of let people know the dates and the locations there. Let me look at my calendar here. We've got, it's going to be February the 22nd, Friday. It's going to kick it off February 22nd in Enterprise, Alabama at the Tractor Supply there. We'll be doing a Getting Backyard Poultry workshop there and book signing, of course, and Q&A. And then on the 23rd, we'll be in, Brewton, Alabama, doing a workshop that Saturday. In fact, we'll be broadcasting the radio show live there in Brewton, Alabama, that Saturday. And then we'll do the two-hour Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop and then Q&A and book signing. And then Sunday the 24th, we're going to be in Pensacola, Florida, doing a workshop, book signing, and Q&A. And then the 25th will be in Crestview, Florida, and then the 26th will be in Marianna, Florida. So we've got five events and 5 consecutive days, February 22nd through Tuesday, the 26th, it looks like. And we'll be posting that, of course, on our Facebook and Twitter page and on our website as well. So we've got that coming up in February, and then no travel in March. You know, Jen's due on March 22nd. Caleb came 3 weeks early, so we have deemed as a family no travel in March at all. But that's okay because we're going to make up for it in April with going 2 events back-to-back, one in Moulton, Alabama, one in Mobile, Alabama. Same thing there. So, spreading the chicken love, Pat and I, all across this great land of ours.
Boy, it's so important. And you know, Whisper, we've come so far. And, of course, what you're doing there with Tractor Supply and all these chicken workshops that are happening all across the country, it really is going to make a difference, I think, in people's health as well as getting off oil and helping to eat local and support our local economies to help get through this great recession. So I think it's... Like you say, it's a labor of love. I mean, it's just so much fun. Can't not stop doing it, but bring it on. Bring it on.
Exactly.
You're doing great work,
Pickle,
too. Don't
Pickle
stop.
Fish in the chat room at Mobile. We'll be in Mobile April the 20th for a book club's having me come in, and we'll be doing a 5-hour, I think, event with lunch provided there. And then the week before that, the 12th, 13th, and 14th, so 2-day event, including that Friday night, so 2.5-day event, at the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival, which has over 25,000 attendees. And so I was there last year, and it was quite a hoot and quite fun. So maybe people can join us there. Yeah, Picklefish, come on by. I'll be more than happy to autograph the book that you've got, so no problem whatsoever there. So very, very good. Christmas chicken,
you've
I don't
got a
think
packed
that is
schedule,
quite...
darling. That's great. That's fabulous.
It's like you said, labor of love. Got to do it, and you're loving it and having a good time. Christmas chick, I'm not getting quite that far south in Florida that time. This coming up in February. And then either April or May, we'll be doing another tour with Tractor Supply, which will probably take us a little bit further west and go up into the Midwest. So we're hoping to get out towards Dallas in maybe May. And then up from Dallas, maybe head up into Oklahoma City, up to St. Louis, back maybe over towards Louisville, Kentucky, and then come back down that way. We'll just have to see what time allows for and what our schedule will allow us to do in those areas. Maybe just head out to Dallas and do a few in the Dallas area and come back. But we'll see. We're getting there slowly but surely. And Pat's starting over there in Virginia Beach. Maybe she'll work a different way up and go over towards St. Louis and Kentucky. Maybe she'll head up northeast next. Who knows? So just look for
Who
us on
knows?
The road, and we'd love to see you.
This is your dream come true, isn't it, Whisper? I mean, you've been talking about this, gosh, ever since I can remember. So you've manifested your tour and your tour bus, and off you go to see the world with your family.
Got the Chicken Whisper mobile. That's exactly right. So
that's
that we
right.
Behind
yeah,
and self-contained. And, oh, it's funny. I got to get the big CW logos on the big Chicken Whisper mobile. So right now we're traveling undercover.
Well,
undercover,
be careful when you drive by those big factory farms, you know.
they'll
make you go through a biocheck.
Speaking of that, I saw an article today I think someone posted it on Facebook, where, you know, where it says the headline was something like, why no one's been able to see or tour inside a poultry farm in the last decade. You know, you just don't see inside a poultry farm anymore. You know, it's just not something that people advertise or they brag about or they, you know, in the last decade, you know, how come we haven't seen inside any poultry farms in the last 10 years? So it's, it was, Sarah said, that's not west enough. I know she'd probably want me to head out to California and one of these days. We were just in California last year, Pat, doing a tour.
Yeah, just a year ago. Just a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to love it. All righty, let me get over here to the switchboard. And, yes, Richard Frudenberger has called in. So we'll go ahead and bring on Richard Frudenberger. Let me find here what I need to play to get started with today's special guest segment.
Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
All righty, Richard Frudenberger, publisher at Backhoe Magazine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Sorry, I was a little late here, but you know, everything's fine now. Okay.
Glad you are here. No problem. Hey, I've got the first question already today. I've been thinking about this since you sent me the topic. I don't know, a month ago, because when I go to the grocery store or I'm going to a farmer's market or something like that, wherever, I'll see the buy in bulk. You know, I don't have a membership to Sam's or Costco. It's something I've really thought about when I go there to get, you know, 900 boxes of macaroni and cheese or something like that they have packed up, or 15,000 rolls of toilet paper, or, you know, who knows what, or, you know, 19 pounds of ground beef. And I look at that thinking, okay, well, that's great, and I can save, you know, 50 cents a pound. But when I get home, here's my question, which I'm sure we'll address during the show today. Others may have this question too. Now I have to, and time is money for a lot of folks, or they may just have a busy schedule. I factor in, okay, now it's going to take me a lot of time, personal time, to separate that beef and maybe weigh it, maybe not be that crucial, and repackage it. And then it's going to cost me money for, if I have a food saver, however much the bags, the rolls of that cost, are Ziploc bags, are freezer bags. So now I'm like, okay, I save 50 cents a pound, but how much do I have in the shrink wrap or the machine to do the shrink wrap, or all those Ziploc bags, and my time once I get home between soccer practice and work and returning phone calls and farming and picking and harvesting to do all that. So again, I'm in that position where when I go just to the regular grocery store, do I buy in bulk? I currently do not. You know, we have got the 1 acre garden. We take that and we blanch that and freeze it and put all that up. We try to do a little canning here and there with fruits and preserves. But as far as general buying groceries, trying to buy in bulk, and it's more for me right now a time issue, and then I look at it, well, am I really saving money having to buy a food saver and all the plastic that goes with that and bags, and I end up not saving any money after all. So that was my question I've been wanting to ask that we can discuss too, which I'm sure you'll cover. That's really, at this point, the only one I have, what I was hoping to get to be addressed in today's show. So I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth to see what you had to say regarding, and I'm sure that's been asked before, different ways to do it more cost effectively.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll talk about that.
Great.
And it's not just, I mean, bulk buying includes what you just mentioned, like going to Sam's Club, mm-hmm. or going to the Costco or the equivalent, where they have a lot of those places have the smaller packed unit stuff available at a cheaper cost because they had ordered too much, or they just had to, you know, close a few stores somewhere, and they just didn't, you know, they just have a surplus of a certain item.
Okay.
That's one way of doing it. That's the, you know, like when you get 24 boxes of, 16-ounce noodles or something like that. But the more traditional bulk buying, which, you know, is what I'm going to talk about, but both of them are, they both count. It really just breaks down to how much you're paying for how many pounds of whatever it is, or gallons or whatever it is. The traditional bulk buying is actually where it's packaged in huge units to begin with, like for institutional purposes mainly. And you know, really since the at least when I've been noticing it since the in the 80s, and you know, sort of this people on a survival mode or just packing away for you know, for events where they're stuck in a place where they really can't get out, or there's a natural disaster, or people who are afraid of, you know, societal
right.
collapse or whatever. There have been companies all along that have been providing much larger, mostly grains, rices, grains, and, you know, wheat and things like that, beans, in, you know, big bags, like 50-pound bags of rice, and, you know, manageable, not 100-pound bags, but like 50, 60-pound bags of whatever. Just like you'd get dog food or chicken feed or something in, you know, big bags. And
right.
that's where the savings really, really comes in. And I know you do find that. I haven't been to Sam's Club in a little while, but I do know that you can get, you know, pretty big bags of things like rice and things there. But also I find that we have there's a lot of bulk material at our local co-op, our local health food co-op store. It started as a health food store, but now it's sort of a general organic/ locally grown outlet where they have mainly bulk available stuff. And you know,
right.
you become a member at the cost, in our case, I think it's $25 a year, and for a family membership, and you with that membership you get a discount. You become an owner and you get a small discount, but you do have access to all this great, you know, great bulk stuff. And anybody else
mm-hmm.
can come in. They're not a member, but it you do get a savings, and you do have that feeling of at least supporting your local community if you become a member. And some of this stuff, I mean, some in some communities, it's more oriented towards, you know, towards organic and really health granola type health food, nuts and
mm-hmm.
the other in some communities it can be a Christian based thing. I mean, just people tend to eat healthier and have a different
mm-hmm.
attitude, and you know, so whatever, it doesn't matter. And everybody's welcome, you know. So that's just to clear up the atmosphere in the beginning here. Just there, you know, there's really like two ways to think about bulk buying. One is like the huge sacks of rice and grains and whatever, liquids, you know, syrup by the 5-gallon jugs, and
mm-hmm.
you know, sugar. You know, I buy sugar for the bees for winter feeding. I can get that in 25-pound bags or more, much cheaper when you do that. And then there's the other side of it, which is just an overstocking or an over storage of material that may be, on the other hand, that also you need to check your dates on those. They may be very close to the expiration date. And in some cases, it doesn't matter a bit, really. The expiration date's almost more of a marketing scheme with many foods as it is a safety thing. Of course, with milk, things that spoil easily, it's a very legitimate thing. But, you know, rice or canned goods, the best use by date is really just that. It's a suggestion. It's not necessarily a after January 15th you need to throw it out. You know, that doesn't hold true for most stuff. It's not it's perfectly good after those days,
right.
You know, for most things.
Richard, rice can go bad, you know, because it has some high oils in it. So you're right about the expiration date. It's not just a drop-dead date kind of thing where you throw it out, but wheat berries, properly stored, will keep for like decades. Well, maybe not that long, but at least a decade. But I just had to toss that in because what I've been doing is getting rice that's kind of gone by or it's near its expiration date and then boiling it up in bone broth and feeding it for my pets, mixing it in with some pet food, raw pet food from our local processor, and that's so much cheaper and it's so much healthier for them. But
absolutely,
just toss that in.
It's true. You know, like I said, by the nature of the food itself, and I guess you wouldn't think about rice going bad, but it does too because of the oils and other things. You know, can get sometimes spores get into in packaging, like things like like oatmeal or something like that, where sometimes in bulk you'll have just maybe a worm problem, even though
weevils come from nowhere, don't they?
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that you have to sort of be aware of. But if you I know people who will take a 50-pound bag of rice and not just sit it there, you know, not just throw it in the corner and then say, okay, well, you know, in 2014 I'm going to open it up. They will immediately, in a clean environment at home, on a day that's not so humid, you know, make sure you've got a good dry day, and we'll repackage that into smaller containers because that way they can access it without opening the bag and closing it up and exposing it over and over again to moisture and any aerobic stuff in the air and anything else. And that gets into what Andy just said. There is an expense, there is a cost in repackaging, but that's usually the cost of the incredibly low-end cost of buying in bulk will outweigh the expense of the additional packaging. And it does.
Absolutely.
But, if you're a careful shopper.
Clear to the folks, you know, that do I consider myself a prepper? Probably not by definition. Do I have probably a year's worth of stuff set aside for my family? Yes. And that could be for financial issues. If I go broke or, you know, if whatever, Mother Nature, things like that. But not necessarily like these preppers that you would see on TV. So prepared, try to be prepper, not so much. But we did buy the 25, 50-pound bags of rice. What we did was I placed them initially in the freezer to kill any type of critters first, maybe for a couple of days. And so I put just a bag of rice right into the freezer, kill all those little worm bugs, whatever, that are in there. And then I made sure it would, dry, because take it out of the freezer, it creates some moisture. So make sure it was, again, dried out properly where you didn't have moisture collection from pulling it out of the freezer. And then we put it in food-grade 5-gallon buckets, just left in the bag, food-grade 5-gallon buckets, and then got my rubber mallet and hammered the lid back shut. So initially with the freezer, we took care of any existing bugs in the rice and then put it in food-grade 5-gallon bucket. Did we wrap it in a Mylar bag, air seal it, put an oxygen absorber in there? No. We just basically put it in the food-grade 5-gallon bucket and hammered it down shut. And we'll eventually, of course, see how long that's actually going to last. But that's different to me because we have our 30-year, prep food is different than kind of our regular day, buying. And I guess that's different because when we bought in bulk for that, we had a 18-wheeler pull up with a pallet and a forklift for some of the stuff we bought because it was cheaper to buy in the 5-gallon buckets already. But like for the everyday things, like you're saying, I can get 10 pounds of ground beef for $1.99 a pound versus, other, and then going back home and spending the time to kind of separate. I've done it before on occasion, but it's not something I do on a regular basis. Plus, we're not anywhere near a Sam's or a Costco. I kind of wish we were, but I'm just not sure I would be dedicated enough to make that commitment. I don't know how even often I would have to go if I did buy like that. So just to clarify for the listeners, we've done the rice thing, since y'all are mentioning rice and kind of what we did, but we're kind of keep our prep food from our, everyday breakfast, lunch, and dinner food a little separate. Now, I know there's the argument that people talk about you need to rotate your long-term storage food, and they have the canned the can rollers, and so you just kind of keep the dates organized and things like that. And I understand the benefit of doing that and rotating through and keeping enough for however long you want to and rotating through that, but we don't actually do that either. We have our storage food, and we have kind of our everyday food. So that's just kind of what we have chosen to do for time purposes and organizational purposes and things like that. But not to interrupt, we were talking about rice. Just wanted to share what we have done for our rice before. You had mentioned the bugs and things like that. And also wanted to clarify kind of the difference between what we do when it comes to kind of buying in bulk. I guess there's two separate topics, buying in bulk for long-term storage and then buying bulk that you'll split up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It does, the idea of rotating it is critical really to successful bulk buying, because things, you know, like I said, like Pat said, not everything is going to last forever, even things that look like they should. And just keeps things fresher to build it into your daily or your weekly or monthly, whatever, feeding schedule, just to you have an idea of what the dates are, when, use things up before they get, you know, too far gone. But, you know, this whole thing, the whole idea, I mean, there was a time, you know, long ago that people, you know, had gardens. I mean, everybody had gardens. Everybody had root cellars and a larder. You know, things were just, the idea of going to the grocery store was, you know, just unheard of, because, you know, what they may go to town, what people went to town for were things like dry goods or, you know, fabric or stuff, you manufactured goods, whatever. They only went in once a month maybe or something. In some communities, you know, today you can go through some space where you couldn't imagine that, you know, 100 years ago, whatever, it was, distances were that much of an issue. But, you know, civilization happens very quickly. And if you mm-hmm. can imagine, you can see, you know, how long it takes to get from, you know, where you are to maybe your state capital, for example, or if you're, mm-hmm. if you're really out in the country, how far it gets to your county seat. I mean, we have people here in my little community here that the main town is about 3 miles away, but this is just a little community. Well, some of these folks today wouldn't, it would be a real hardship for them to get a job 3 miles down the road. They want to work right in town. I mean, they don't want to have to get in the car and go even 3 miles, you know, and, you know, that was certainly more so, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. And I've spoken to people, you know, people who are alive today who've told me to get from our little town of Flat Rock here out to Hendersonville was, you know, about a 3.5 mile ride. That was like all morning. I mean, because we didn't have cars. I mean, you know, we either had a horse or walked or whatever. So, you know, that's, we got to put ourselves in that mindset. And what happened was, as we all know, pretty much really with the advent of, I guess, the Second World War, before that and maybe and definitely after that, the idea of just going to the store every day and having the supermarket available right in your little community, in your subdivision or in your you know, suburban settlement, that was all part of the package, part of the modern picture. And so we got all very used to buying things, you know, going to the store every week or every couple of days or even every day. And we have never gotten out of that, except for the few of us, like we're talking about now, who are thinking, gee, maybe it would be a good idea to rethink this. So what happened was the manufacturers, the food companies, and the marketers, too, started packaging things in much smaller, you know, smaller quantities. And it cost them more money to do that. But to make up for that, they, of course, raised the prices. So if you look, if you take a calculator to the store with you, you can figure it out. I mean, if you get an 8 ounces for, you know, $2.95, and you get 16 ounces for, you know, quite a bit less than that, just a little more than that, when you figure out the per ounce cost, you're going to realize that you get the discount between the two is quite a bit when you get a little more. And if you get a lot more, you can see the price really comes down. That's even in maybe the three sizes that you, you know, that you will notice in the store. Most things come in, you know, maybe two sizes. Some come in three or even four sizes. So you'll see, you know, family size or individual size, whatever. But things get progressively more expensive as the box gets smaller. So we're just getting away from that whole idea and just going up, you know, up the chain a little bit and getting the stuff in bulk, so we can then buy the largest amount of food for the smallest amount of money we can afford, and then we've had to make provisions for storing it, not only physically storing it in a room, in a pantry or a larder or a basement or wherever you, you know, have a cooler, dry place to store things, but also have taken into account the idea of what kind of storage you're going to, is it going to be freezing? Is it going to be vacuum bagging? Is it going to be the containers? Is it going to be some other type of sealing? You know, whatever. And some foods lend themselves better to a certain type of preserving than others. But the idea is that you really have to look at it like a manufacturer, like a businessman when you go in there, a businesswoman. When you look at your bulk item, you really have to look at the price and the poundage,
mm-hmm.
and then take your calculator and figure out what it's going to be, you know, per pound or per ounce or whatever, and then compare it to what it's going to cost you in the store to buy that in whatever size you normally would buy, or even in the next larger size, and think about how much it's going to cost you to buy the containers or buy the Ziploc bags or buy the vacuum sealer or the buckets or, you know, food storage buckets or whatever. But it really has to be figured out carefully and correctly, or else, you know, you're not going to not automatically going to do better just by assuming when you buy in bulk it's just going to be better, because as Andy pointed out in the beginning of the show, you could be investing a lot in just preparation and storage equipment that you may not be able to earn back unless you get a good price on the stuff to begin with. You know, and this works for, I mean, it works for syrup, it works for pasta, it works for breakfast cereal, you know, rice, beans. These are the kind of things that really make a lot of sense to put into storage. I mean, when you talk, we're not talking about bulk storage so much of bread, you know, already manufactured stuff. We're talking about the raw material. That's where your savings really, you know, really comes through. And you know, it just works out, you know, much better that way. And you can do the, do the storage options however way you want. Now, of course, you got to remember, like, if you're things like freezing, which is, you know, great for meats and things like that, but it does cost money, and to operate the freezer, and it also there's always the risk of losing your food at a time when you know, the worst possible time when you don't need unfrozen, defrosted meats all at once, you know, in say September,
right,
when the hurricane's coming through or something like that.
It goes out for whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I noticed, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I've noticed that the more frequently the outages are happening more frequently than say 20 years ago, and they're also happening for longer periods than say 20 years ago. Used to be, you know, someone out, it was out for a few hours and then they had it fixed. Now it seems that it's out for, in my case, I mean, it's sometimes out for a day or two. That's not unusual, sometimes up to 5 days, and that is unusual, but it's not uncommon. I mean, it's not that rare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's not because the power companies are, you know, doing a bad job or whatever. I think it's just that there's a lot of people moving into places where the infrastructure has not been set up right, or it's old, or it's been sort of patched up to make it work for shoving more and more people into areas that are wooded and, you know, rougher than a normal flat suburban area. So, you know, it's a big investment to string power lines and use new material and do all that. So they really haven't caught up with, they don't always do it brand spanking new to begin with. So there's going to be problems. And things get more expensive every year, so they can't always keep up. You know, it's a shareholders issue. They got to show a profit and all that stuff. So,
right.
You know, it's easier
for
them to say,
Richard, we're having these super-duper storms that are just setting records all over the place. And of course, the heat then with the air conditioning. So we're just in for changing times on just about every level globally. So,
oh yeah, yeah,
and plus we do have an aging infrastructure. I mean, that's a really key factor in a lot of this. When you start to look about how old some of our infrastructure is for the electric lines. Hey Richard, I had a question for you. Have you ever used the CO2 to drive out the oxygen? For example, if you're storing rice, you can get some dry ice from a local vendor and then put that in there, and that'll drive the oxygen out to expand the storage life.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things. You know, I'm not aware of everything or haven't had experience with everything, but I do know I have been to a lot of events, you know, like renewable energy events or you know, things like that, where you have a show example. And there's a lot of people who are preppers, you know, you know, I guess prepping prior to that was called survivalism and you know, whatever. But I mean, it's prepping is just really being sure that you have you know, have this stuff put away and all that. And in among those circles, there's a lot of different methods, like vacuum sealing and the CO2 inert gas additions. It's you know, it just keeps the spoilage either minimized or absolutely just not, you know, just doesn't happen. Yes, and so the answer is yes, but of course any new trick like that or any extra step like that is just more money. And to avoid the yes, you will extend the life of the product, but why not just rotate your stock and you wouldn't have to do all that. I mean, obviously there is some risk in an extremely long term situation where you may, you know, we're talking about a year or something. Yeah, but I mean, the likelihood of that actually happening is, you know, a lot slimmer than don't have to go through a week with no power or 2 weeks or whatever. And as we've seen, like in New York City now, or in Louisiana, New Orleans and stuff, you know, eventually you're still in an urban environment, and things can take a lot longer than anybody would ever imagine to get back to normal. But in the interim, things usually aren't terribly awful for a whole long time. It might be a week or two, and generally it takes that long for somebody to get into gear and to, you know, to help. And the usually that somebody is the people themselves first. I mean, that's usually how it works. And then finally FEMA or the you know, some form of government comes in and starts catching up, and then it all works out. So for the most part, you know, even though there are horror stories, I mean, even this morning on the radio I was hearing about people who are living in tent-like shelters in Staten Island, New York, that haven't been able to get back into their homes and all that. And it's been, how long has that been? It's been, you know, a month or more. So, but yeah, that's it's just a trade-off, really. I mean, if you want to go high-tech and think about, you know, the vacuum sealing and the CO2 inert gases and all that stuff, that's fine, but it's going to cost more money. And you may well just rotate your stock and continually buy more. But I did want to touch on a few options as far as buying more, not just at the co-op or whatever. But there are actually buying clubs. You can become a member of a buying club, and with the numbers that you have, once you belong to the club, it increases the numbers of buyers. So you can actually get a even deeper discount, because, you know, maybe 50 people are buying at once instead of just you. And the other option is with numbers, you can get some people together and order directly from the food distributor as a wholesaler, basically as a wholesale buyer, once you've got enough volume, and you can do it that way, and then also you'll get that get that discount. And in that case, you're going to have to be prepared to handle the merchandise, as Andy mentioned before, you know, forklifts, pallet loads. Maybe you don't have to have a forklift right there, but we'll have to have hands, you know, many working hands to unload the truck. When a truck comes up to your, you know, they normally deal with loading docks and pallet jacks and forklifts, and when they show up at some place and they're not ready to do that, the best they can do is just drag the pallet to the back of the truck, to the front of the truck, or the door of the truck, and then you'll have to unload by hand. If there's things like big barrels or something like that, you know, have to make arrangements for that. But that's an option that a lot of people do. They belong to go online or check at the local co-op where they live, or the local food, you know, might be a natural food store or whatever, and see what's available in their community for either a buying club or a group purchase from a distributor. And everybody chips in, and sometimes it can be difficult to get everybody on board, you know, with groups of people. It's always hard, but, you know, getting money straight, getting everybody to make sure that they pay, and also making the selection as to exactly what it is they're going to get and how much of it. So that's the downside of that. The larger, the more people you have involved in your club, the deeper the discount, but also the more footwork and phone calls and emails are going to have to be going on to get it all organized. But, you know, sometimes the serious people stick with it, and the ones that are just sort of not so serious, that sort of drop out. So you get a core group of people who are, who are good to work with, and you know, it's really an excellent way to you know, take care of that situation there. Just get the, you know, get things for the just absolutely cheap as you can get it. Let me see. I'm thinking of some you know, tips as far as getting, talking about what to get. It really takes, you need to do your homework to figure out what you actually need and what you use and how you use it. So before you just go out and say, you know, make an impulse buy of 50 pounds of rice, the ideal situation would be to take a month or two and just do a trial, you know, pen to paper kind of inventory. Measure how much of it you use every day. Just, you know, I make these meals. I use this much rice, or use this many lentil beans, or you know, whatever it is that you use in your normal menus. And also, even before that, you may want to look into the kinds of menus, and this is all available, you know, in, you know, like in back home or on the internet or other publications or books. There are certain types of family menus that actually lend themselves more to bulk purchases, because they do tend to use a lot more, you know, beans and rice and other things that keep well, and they also tend to be healthier, by the way, so that's good for you too. So you prep your menus out for a month in advance, and then you can figure out what you know, what you actually use. If you use 16 ounces or, you know, a pound of rice a night, or 2 pounds of beans, or whatever it is, and then you know exactly what you're going to use up in a month, so you don't have that way you can sort out the stuff that you don't want to overbuy, or overbuy things that aren't going to keep well, especially that, because if you do well for a couple of weeks with something, and by the end of the month or by the third week of the month, stuff will start to spoil, that's not going to work. That's just a wasted, that's 25% of your purchase gone right there. So you just want to figure it out and get your, you know, get your ducks in a row and really adjust, you know, what you need. And this goes to things like, you know, apple cider vinegar, baking powder, you know, baking goods, flour, mm-hmm. All that stuff. I mean, if your household bakes a lot, then you have to probably buy more flour than, you know, an average family might use. If you like rice and beans, and that's going to be, and don't mind, you know, making meals in various ways, using those ingredients in creative ways, mixing them with other things and whatever, that's going to be your staples. You know, people who make their own breads, of course, are going to have to build that into their menus and their purchasing options, so they get their flour, the kind of flour they use, and the kind of whatever else it is that they, you know, use in cornmeal or whatever else they may, you know, cook with. The other thing is, you can buy from catalogs, and there are bulk buying catalogs that have, you know, the prices are not the lowest, but they are definitely very attractive pricing, and there's a big selection. My suggestion there, before you might get a catalog, or look online on the catalog online and see something you like, and then say, oh boy, that sounds great, I'll get the 25 pounds of this. I wouldn't do that. I would make it a point to try to find a smaller amount first, and make sure if it's a new bulk package product that you're going to buy, get the smallest quantity you can of it to sample it. Sometimes if you these things may be even through the catalog, they'll be optioned off, like 1 pound, 5 pounds, 25 pounds, whatever. I wouldn't, if you're not sure of the product or haven't had a chance to sample it, or maybe a friend or somebody else you know who may have tried it. And some of these things are happening in, you know, online. There'll be some comments, you know, did you try the, you know, XYZ brand of whatever, and you may see it's awful, or this is great, you know, I love it and all that. But you still, it's a good idea to buy a small quantity of it. Of course, it'll be at a higher price, but see if you like it, see if everything, delivery is good and all that stuff, before you go up for the big ones. But, you know, on things like catalog ordering, where you really don't know what you're, going to get, because you're not familiar with the company.
There was a question in the chat room.
maybe related, maybe not. But then we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we come back, we can continue, and then we'll give away a one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine. They were one person was asking, for example, could I buy one of those industrial number 10 cans, per se, say green beans, and then break that down and then can it into smaller mason jars. And they didn't know if that would double the canning, make them mush or make them not good or take out a lot of the nutrients that may already be in those canned green beans. But, you know, buying a couple of number 10 cans and then, again, going through the process of recanning them as you would fresh green beans in a ball mason jar for longer-term storage, breaking up that way, maybe saving some money that way. Have you heard of people doing that, or is there a downfall of doing that?
The only downside of that I'm aware of is that once you open that can, you've exposed, you know, when it's canned, it's actually canned in a situation where it's a clean environment and it's, you know, it's sealed. And once you've broken that seal, you've exposed, the stuff may have been in a can for a while anyway. I mean, it's, you know, you can read the labels to see, but it's, that's an education in itself. It's just looking, going to the grocery store and just, especially one that's not as well managed as you might hope, and you can poke around in the bins there on the aisles and reach way back and just check the date. Sometimes the stockers don't, you know, they don't really do as good a job as they could, and you'll find sometimes a vast difference between what's up front and what's in the back. So all this leads to the fact that it may be a little old. I don't mean unsafe. I just mean a little old to begin with, and you open the can and you're exposing it to bacteria and everything, and then you're recanning it. You have to heat to recan it properly. You're going to have to heat it all over again. So that's not really the way to go about it.
Okay.
The canning is best done fresh. You know, that's how it works.
Understand.
And of course, you know, we're not foods in the pressure canning, so it's a whole different animal. You know, two different kinds of foods.
Absolutely.
So we'll go to your break then, and then we can come back and we'll talk about some other stuff.
Sounds great. That's good. We're talking with Richard Friedenberger, publisher and technical writer at Back Home Magazine. You can visit them online at backhomemagazine.com. And when we come back from the break, we're going to give away a one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine to one lucky listener. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
No matter how much we pamper our chickens, no matter how often we clean our coops, there is always that chance they will get mites and lice. If they do, you want to treat them as naturally as possible. Poultry Protector from Carefree Enzymes uses all-natural enzymes to eliminate the mites and lice from your coop, nesting boxes, and chickens with no egg withdrawal period. My chickens don't always have mites and lice, but when they do, I prefer Poultry Protector from CarefreeEnzymes.com. Happy flocking.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. This is a great show, learning about buying bulk food to save some money with Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, and of course, my co-host joining us today, Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Also, coordinating and I guess founder of Chickens and You, the new college courses that you can take and get a certificate of graduation. So, by the way, I was going to tell you, Pat, Virginia Beach, you know, there's a big fight going on over there in Virginia Beach, and backyard chickens aren't allowed right now. So maybe as you do your the marketing and all the great publicity you're doing for the thing over there in Virginia Beach, that you'll really maybe ruffle some feathers over there, because chickens are not allowed and there's a big fight going on over there with Tracy Oak.
That's right. And Richmond, Virginia passed, the capital of Virginia, passed their chicken laws. So that was a big long struggle too. But yeah, we're ruffling feathers and stirring the pot up over there. It's it's almost a cascading domino effect now, and we're headed towards Washington. No kidding.
Heading down to Washington's. Absolutely. It's unfortunate that you know, there's been several, and I mentioned it on the radio show, I guess a couple of weeks ago, someone contacted me again wanting to do some petition about getting chickens to the White House. I said, you know, with all practical purposes, I don't want to burst your bubble or discourage you. It's been done. There's been official word. Yes, official word from the White House. They are not getting chickens. It's already been done. Christine Heinrich had a hand in that. We had everything already set up to donate. They had coops and heritage breeds and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was no. So there's been a couple of people since then who do Facebook pages. I think one has like 51 members and just loses steam. And there's already been official word, folks. If you've been looking to have or thinking about doing a Facebook page and that official petition, when you get 25,000 signatures and they have to respond, you can go through all that hard work. But when they respond, it'll be the same official word they gave Christine Heinrich and her group and the other folks that were all trying to get backyard chickens there, which is no. So you can go ahead and try it again. I'm all for you. Don't want to discourage you, but they've already had an official word, and it is no chickens at the White House.
Yes, but no is just a one point in time, Whisper. And the truth is, they passed Kennedy's
there.
In Washington, D.C., they had a new sustainability bill, and chickens was in it as it went into the mayor's office along with honeybees. And for some reason, one person must have just dropped the chicken portion, but the honeybees passed. And this just happened a couple weeks ago. So there's a pretty strong chicken group up there that will be coming back and saying, well, now, why not add chickens, too, to the D.C. area? So when
Absolutely.
I say we're headed towards Washington, I don't necessarily mean the White House, but the Capitol Hill, you know, that square mile where people have their own government, that's where I think we'll have luck of having chickens.
Yeah, I mean, we already know. I mean, why not allow chickens in Washington, D.C.? There's already plenty of turkeys there, so there's no reason.
A few vultures, too, aren't there? Don't be so insulting to turkeys or vultures.
Oh, my. Hey, folks, it's time for a contest. We're going to give away a one-year subscription to Back Home Magazine. And we're going to take Pat, what we're going to do is I have a little trivia question. And it's already been, the answer's already kind of been mentioned on the radio show today. And so we'll do that. And, Pat, I need you to pick a winning caller number. And then we'll give the number out and have people call in and ask the question.
Okay, great. Let's go with 8. I like 8.
Okay, we haven't had 8 in a long time.
Infinity.
So
Yeah.
Take caller number 8 if you know the answer to the following question. And then the number to call in, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. And Pat had mentioned earlier that all or most of the staff at Backhome Magazine was the original staff somewhere else. Remember that, Pat? You were talking about that at the beginning of the show.
I did say that.
And we were going to ask Richard Frudenberger here in a little while, not only how long has Backhome Magazine been around, but even how long he's been in the magazine industry and publishing and whatnot before that. But So the question, caller number 8 at 347-637-3237 can tell us, Pat mentioned it earlier, the original staff, or the staff currently at Backhome Magazine, used to be the original staff at a really the original somewhere else. So that's what we're looking for. And Pat had mentioned it.
You're looking for the name of the magazine that they were the original staff for.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. And it's big. I mean, they're everywhere. It seems like they're everywhere.
So 347. Yeah, 347-637-3237, giving away a one-year subscription to Backhome Magazine. You're going to love it. I love it. It's six magazines every year. It comes out every other month, chock full of information. And, guys, don't throw them away. Put them in a bin. Put them in a file folder because the information doesn't go bad. You can go back. And a lot of the topics we have here on the show, and we welcome Richard, comes from past magazine. So that's absolutely awesome. So 347-637-3237. Pat mentioned earlier that the current staff there at Backhome Magazine was the original staff of another magazine way back when, and we want to know what the name of that magazine was. And yeah. While we're waiting on the switchboard to light up, Richard, how long has Backhome Magazine been in publication? A couple of decades now, 20-something years?
Yeah, 22 years. That's right.
That's 22 years. Wow.
Awesome. I was close.
That's a long time.
I said a couple of decades, yeah. That's a lot of sustainable information.
Yeah. We originally, just a little factoid, the covers on Backhome are exceptionally thick. You know, they're when you buy a newsstand issue of most anything else, it's going to be a thin, flimsy, sort of waxy cover, not very durable. We deliberately put a heavy wrap on the cover stock. It's a good thick cover because we knew people were going to save them as an encyclopedia, and that's exactly how it's worked. We've had a lot of complaints in the past from our distributors, the people that actually ship the magazines and place them in the racks at the different newsstands, mm-hmm. wherever. And they basically said, you know, if you guys would lighten up your cover, you'd make more money because it would be cheaper to ship and cheaper to make and all that. And we said, no, it's not the money. It's the fact that people actually save these, and they have to be durable. Mm-hmm. And the paper itself is heavier than, you know, most. In fact, you know, some mm-hmm. years ago, the first 10 years, it was really heavy paper, but it just got a little too heavy to ship. And there was a economic factor. Actually, we couldn't buy the paper anymore because they stopped making it. So people don't think about that, but magazines are heavy and they do cost money to send all over the country. So we do think about the readers because there's many people put them in little sleeves or they mm-hmm. Just store them issues 1 through. I've talked to a lot of people. They have every single issue.
That's awesome. What a great collection that would be. That would be super. Okay, let's see. Pat, you said call number 8. So let's roll down here.
Yep.
Number 8, and we'll roll down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And let's go over here to the phone lines. We're bringing them live right now. Now, if I don't go to you, area code, don't automatically hang up. Wait until we have officially said they are the winner, because they may get this answer wrong, and then we'll go to caller number 9. We may go to call number 9. So hang on. So let's go to call number 8. Here we go. You're live on the air with Andy, Pat, and Richard. Caller calling in from area code 707. You're live on the air. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
This is Sarah from California. Woo-hoo.
Sarah from California. Alrighty, all the way across the country there. And tell us what the answer to the question you think it would be. So the staff currently at Backhome Magazine was the original staff for what other magazine?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was at Mother Earth News.
Richard?
That's right. Richard?
Yes.
All righty. Absolutely. That is correct. And so gotta love that. And so you are 100% correct. So, winner, I think it was Sarah out in California. This is what I need you to do for me to start getting your year-long subscription to Back Home Magazine. I need you to send me an email, okay, with all your information. So send me an email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay, that's contest@chickenwhisperer.net. In the subject line of the email, please put Back Home Magazine. And then in the email itself, I'll need your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and then if you'll type in your email address under your phone number, and I can get all that information, and I can get it to the great folks at Back Home Magazine, and they can get you on the list to receive the very next publication of Back Home Magazine for the entire year. This is a 1 year subscription from Back Home Magazine, courtesy of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So congratulations. Just send that over to me, contest@chickenwhisperer.net. All righty, just a few more minutes left in the show. We're going to wrap up here with some other great information from Richard regarding buying bulk food to save a little cash.
Yeah, I wanted to hit two things.
Sure.
Back to where the source of where to get the food, and then I'll just go over a couple high points here, and then we can wrap it up. You know, another thing we talked about where, you know, co-ops and food buying clubs and buying from a distributor directly. But you can also, it's possible to save not a super, super great savings, but it's maybe a 10%, maybe 15% savings. You can actually order a case of a product from your grocer. I mean, you can go to the manager and say, you know, I really like, you know, whatever it might be, cereal or pasta or whatever, and by ordering in case lots, there may be 24, you know, maybe 24 of them in there, or 36 of them, or 15 or whatever, or 16. But by ordering in case lots, you can usually realize at least a 10% discount, and you know, most managers will comply with that, and you know, work with you on that, because it doesn't take them any effort to just put in an order with the next order for, you know, a case of whatever. So that's an option you might want to think about. Again, you know, savings isn't terrific, but you don't have to repackage the stuff. And it is something unless it's something that does, like cans or something that will last a long time, it will, foods like that, like cereals, will go bad fairly quickly, but at least you're getting the price. If you go through a lot of cereal, you'll get the price down. The other thing is that people should remember, especially if you live in an area where it's either a rural area or a suburban area that has, you know, on the cusp or has access to farms and whatever, you can buy at extremely good prices. You can buy bulk directly from the farmer, and you can or the grower, and you can, you know, if you're into canning or into food prep like storage prep, you can get some, you know, really good deals on bulk beans. You know, the fresh foods, bulk beans and, you know, whatever it is, whatever else it is, corn or whatever. If you don't have time to put up a garden, but you still want that fresh, natural and you know, would hope chemical-free foods, hopefully, you may be able to work a deal with some of your local growers and just put your name in, and when it comes harvest time, just, you know, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a, you know, you can really get some good prices there because there's a, you know, the food industry has a lot of middlemen involved. You know, it goes through a lot of steps before it gets to the shelf. And you know, if you just go in there and grab it right from the source, you will have work at your home once you get it home. But you know, the canning process.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's great.
I know a lot of people don't. I know a lot of people don't have the luxury of living in, say, a farm-rich area, but I'm amazed at where we're living now, really with the modern machinery they have now to cultivate and to harvest bulk acreage, thousands of acres, it leaves so much crop behind, peanuts, all kinds of things. So we'll have folks in the area. area that'll go to the farmer, have that relationship with that local farmer, and once they've harvested everything they're going to harvest, I mean, they're done. They don't go back out and try to recollect most of them. Or, God, look, I mean, I have folks that say, if, you know, who their family raised cotton, and they're like, man, if my grandpa saw the amount of cotton that was left in that field, he would be absolutely embarrassed to even have his name associated with that farm based on these big machineries and the amount of, for example, cotton and other things they leave in the field. But people will, for example, after they harvest peanuts, I mean, they're done. It's time to get ready for the next crop. You can go out and whatever the machinery didn't collect, a lot of them are more than happy to say, yeah, go out and get all the peanuts you want. That's fine, because that just means that's less cleanup we're going to have to do. Same thing a lot often with pecans, everything you got to be careful. Get the farmer's permission. If you know them, that's even better. But you're right. There's a lot of folks that go up to the peach packers, and there may be some that they reject or don't want, or maybe they have one bruise on them or something like that, and they'll come away with literally boxes and boxes of peaches that they could still resell under the shade tree down on the corner, but mm-hmm. just did not make the cut for whatever reason, or, again, sell on the corner or go and can themselves. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, that's second harvest or gleaning harvest. That's absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, in our case, we got beans and tomatoes. That's a, you know, big deal. People just
awesome.
Go. I mean, I've been getting bushel baskets of tomatoes just by. I do water testing for the state every month, and one of them's next to a field, one of the sites, and you know, the farmer will come and just say, take whatever you can put in the basket, son, because it's just going to rot. You know, the birds are going to get it, so everybody's willing to share. If I got a few minutes, let me just hit a few high points
sure.
on the bulk buying tips, and I think
please
it might
do.
Help. When you order from a catalog, you gotta be careful about measurements, because things are measured in different ways. You know, liquid, dry measure, fluid ounces, and whatever. Thinking like, how many fluid ounces in a 10-pound jug of oil? Who can come up with that answer right now? You know, that's the way you gotta think. So you got to realize you're doing, how are you going to package it, or how are you going to store it, and how much do you use in a month or 6 months or a week or whatever. So that's going to dictate how you buy it or how much you buy of it. And so you'll need to know, get out the old the Joy of Cooking book is in the back of that, and in most cookbooks, any good cookbook, it's going to have the weights and measures table, and you can go back and refer to the tables, how many pints in a quart and how many dry measures is in a liquid measure, you know, that kind of thing. And you have to, you know, brush up on that. And there's online, on the internet, there's a lot of converters available. Just, you know, weight or measure conversion tables or whatever, and you just plug in the number, it'll give you how much of the other mm-hmm. number it is. So that's either read it from a chart in a book, or you can go online and get it, but you do need to be familiar with those conversions to do the best job. The other thing is that you should be aware of how the stuff is packed, in other words, what kind of material. For example, the example I'm thinking of now is like vinegar, which is acidic, and it does tend to, you know, it tends to do best in glass containers when you buy it. Sometimes, if you're buying bulk, you may not want to have it delivered to you in a plastic container, because the plastic can, you know, there may be some concerns about the acid eating away at the plastic container. Not so much for a leak, but just, you know, just some of the concerns we have over PCBs you know, some other chemical composition that's in the plastic, even though it may be stored in a dry, cool, and dark place, still that what's in the container may be leaching out some of that bad stuff. So glass is pretty much going to be a safe bet all around. So you want to, if you do have concerns about that, you want to be sure you are aware of what the containers are before you, before you order. And that also has to do with what kind of foods in the container. Some foods aren't really going to be as much of an issue. Tomato sauce, vinegars, anything high acid is going to have more of that worrisome concern than something that's dry and not so much. Another thing to think about is storage. I think I already mentioned, just again, it doesn't hurt to talk about it. You were talking about plastic food grade storage buckets. Some people use plastic bins, you know, the sealable type bins of different sizes that you can actually seal. You have to make sure if you're storing things in that, that it does seal well, and you have to also be sure that you really don't want to choose a place to store it where there's any exposure to, you know, mice or other critters mm-hmm. like that. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't always be have that luxury that you absolutely make 100% sure there's never going to be a mouse there, because nobody has that luxury. But you really don't want to just stick it out on the back porch where there's going to be access from, you know, from chewing. You know, I've had food containers chewed through by raccoons, opossums and stuff. And you don't want to store it in a bright area. You don't necessarily want to store it anywhere as close to a heat source or where it's going to freeze. I mean, some foods don't do well when they're frozen. So you want to think about all that. So you got to pick your storage area, you know, just like a pantry or a larder or somewhere in the basement where it's not too damp. That's going to be, you know, it's going to be the good choice.
Well, you mentioned that too. You know, a lot of people know that honey doesn't have an expiration date. I mean, it's one of maybe the only food on the planet that doesn't have an expiration date, or that will not go bad. However, I need to tell folks, someone in the chat room mentioned they even found honey, I think it was in the pyramids or King Tut's tomb or something like that, that was still good. And so we know honey will last longer than our lifetime. But I think one thing to think about is also the area you keep that, because even though it may not go bad, it may crystallize. If it gets, I guess, what, is it too cold, Richard? Because, I mean, like I said, it's and maybe it may not hurt maybe true raw honey or honey in the comb, but I've had that I've bought honey from true homestead backyard folks, and I have it in the kitchen. We have an old 1900s farmhouse, and so, you know, like I said, we go out traveling. There's no heat in the house. Inside the house, it'll get down to whatever it is, I guess, eventually outside. And I've come back and I've had jars of honey that have just solid as a rock that I've crystallized. And I'm like, well, what a waste. So you have to, I think, also take care of your honey, even though properly taken care of lasts a long time. But I've had honey crystallized.
Andy, you can still eat crystallized honey.
I guess warm it
that's
up
true.
Again.
I just can't squeeze it on my toast.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't take put it in hot water, and it'll take a few minutes, but it'll come
melt.
Right back. Yeah, that's the one thing. It's not ruined because it's crystallized. It doesn't hurt anything. It's just what happens sometimes is some commercial honeys have too much water in them, or some unscrupulous person may sell. And this is pretty rare because beekeepers are pretty honest folks. But sometimes you get down, you know, it gets passed through a couple of different middle people, and they might cut it with a little sugar, sometimes throw a little water in there, and that will tend to bring up, you know, not only does it not make the honey as good as it originally was, but that'll also cause some problems. But yes, when it gets cold, it will crystallize, but it doesn't have to freeze either. It just has to be cooler, and no problem with that. Just stick it in the pan of warm water and just wait a little bit. It'll come right back.
Now, I haven't done that. Will it back to the same pretty much consistency and everything else? And then,
as long as it wasn't cut with sugar or
the
moisture.
Sugar in the water, right. Yeah, this would have pretty much pure backyard honey.
Yeah, you want 18% moisture level is more or less what it comes out to when it's the honey we know of as honey. And sometimes, you know, the bees do that. I mean, they fan their wings and they get rid of the moisture. But sometimes, just in processing or whatever, the moisture content's a little too high, so you'll have that issue too. But you know, heating it will drive off some of that will drive off some of that moisture, and it doesn't hurt. You know, given a good supply of honey that's crystallized, it'll come back to exactly the way it was before it crystallized. It's not going to hurt it at all. I guess that was
learn something every day. See, I really honestly had no idea. I knew that you had to be careful with that, and then I thought, oh, great, I went to reach for some honey that we had that we got from a neighbor that in the same town back in. It was absolutely hard as a rock crystallized. I was like, well, doggone it. And I will be embarrassed to say, in a way, it went into the trash can. So I thought it was at that point just kind of permanently ruined. So I was a little concerned. So I wanted to share that with folks. So maybe others as well as I learn something every day on the radio show. Hopefully you learn something every day in your life, every day. Every single day, don't we? So that's absolutely awesome news. So I learned something today. I'll carry for the rest of my life as well. I'll share it with Jen and say, oh, by the way, if you ever encounter that honey, since we live in that old farmhouse and it gets darn tootin' cold in that kitchen, or darn hot in the kitchen in the summertime, but and the honey crystallized sitting on the, you know, if we go out on whatever, that hey, just set it down in a warm pot of water, and that will eventually turn back to good old honey as we know it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But awesome. Yeah, the only other things I wanted to mention, just to, you know, wrap it up, is that as you said, it's important to factor in not just the cost of your materials if you're going to repackage things, but also how long it takes. I mean, time is money, just like any other thing, any other business or activity. And you know, you don't want to have to drive to you know, from Atlanta to Memphis, Tennessee, to pick up your bulk food and drive back and save, you know, 11%. I mean, that isn't going to work. So you have to think about how long it's going to take to either get it, if you have to pick it up, or to process it or repackage it, and the cost of all that stuff. So that's one, you know, a good point. It's not just the cost of the plastic bags or the vacuum sealing or the freezing or whatever, but also how long it takes to get this done, especially if you have to drive. The other thing is, the only other thing I wanted to mention was that we were talking about catalog buying. Sometimes the catalogs will have a surcharge for smaller orders. So they'll have the price looks really attractive, you know, so much rice for, you know, 50 pounds of rice for, you know, some ridiculous little price. But if you don't order five bags of them, or if you whatever, you have to just keep, that's a question to ask or something to read the fine print about. There may be a 5 to 10% surcharge in there for the smaller order. So just be aware of it, you know.
Exactly. It's kind of like when I get an email or something from Branders or a place that, you know, does the PR stuff, and it's like, today's special ceramic coffee mug with your logo for 69 cents. And then you go and you say, well, that's interesting. Let's see what this is all about. And if you buy 10,000 of them, it's 69 cents. Otherwise, the 100 or 200 I'm going to buy, they're still $4.95. So
yeah.
So exactly. Yeah, are just like when you buy chicks, their meat bake may be a minimum order of 25, or if you buy less, there may be still a fee for, like I said, small quantity fee for that as well. So that's a good point. If you're buying the food, the price might look good if you're doing the catalog buying. That's a good point as well. And shipping. You factor in that shipping based on, oh, wow, I can get this for so much. And then you factor in shipping of a lot of heavy things like rice or canned food or something. Now you got a product shipping fee. And that may blow the deal totally out of the water as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just, and it's not really dishonesty. It's just a matter of it costs money and they have to, you know, they have to cover their costs. It may not be that obvious about it, but, you know, you'll find out one way or the other. But it always pays to read the fine print and read the shipping instructions and ask questions. If you get a real person on the phone, you can ask, and they'll be, you know, honest with you.
And
so that's about
that,
all I have.
Speaking of that, you will get a real person on the phone if you go to backhomemagazine.com and want to order their magazine and subscribe to that. And instead of subscribing online, you want to talk to a real person. You can do that when you call the number there at their website and talk to a real person that speaks English. You'll be able to understand them, and they will actually get your order taken and get your subscription on the way. So backhomemagazine.com, and it's Richard Frudenberger, publisher of that great magazine and chief technical writer. Richard, thank you so much for joining us today. Great topic. We learned a lot. I learned that just because honey has crystallized, it's not bad. So it's just one of those things. And I have to contribute that to my dad. You know, everybody always pretty much knows not to put honey in the refrigerator. I think that may have been one of the things I learned back in my pre-teens about honey in the refrigerator or crystallize. And I've seen it done before and think, oh, they just ruined the honey. They put it in the fridge, it's going to crystallize, and they just ruined it. So you learn something every day, and I'm sure all of our listeners who have those big, thick spiral notebooks with CW written on the front, and they've taken notes over, 770 episodes of the show, we've all learned something. So that's awesome, Richard. Thanks for sharing that with us, amongst other things, today. And we appreciate it, and we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and good luck, and we'll talk to you then.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Pat, another great episode.
Thanks, Richard. Hey, Whisper, I just got an alert. I'd like to read this. It's a Virginia Action Alert, And it's pretty neat because maybe we'll see this across the country. It's Freedom and Opportunity for Farmers. There's a rally on Monday coming up. It's a rally at 3:30 in the Capitol, Richmond, Virginia. And what they're doing is they've got two bills that would enable people to sell from their, not only from their kitchens directly to direct end consumers, but also create votes, jobs by expanding farmers markets and just really letting it a lot easier to be able to sell from your backyard or your homestead or even from your farm. Joel Salatin will be there along with Kimberly Hartke, and there's a hearing before the Agriculture Committee there in Richmond at 201 North 9th Street, Capitol Square in Richmond, Virginia. So I just wanted to put that out. It's coming up Monday, January 28th from 5 to 8 p.m. Those that would like to come and help join the rally, that would be a great thing to do. So I wanted to sneak that in since it's such a short lead time and we don't have a show tomorrow for our listeners. There's no show tomorrow.
Correct. Yep, absolutely. A reminder there, we'll be literally on the road heading down 75 towards Orlando during showtime. So we hope everybody will have an absolutely fabulous, fabulous weekend this weekend. And it looks like right now, Monday, the Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. He'll be joining us on Monday, finishing a series. It'll be part two of learning all about the feather, all about the feather. So, Pat, I will turn it over to you, and you can take it away.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that first episode on feathers was a real eye-opener. I can hardly wait to hear what Richard had to say. Okay, well, our special guest today was Richard Furtenberger. He is the publisher and technical writer for Back Home Magazine, and you can find them at backhomemagazine.com. Thanks to all our chat room chicken eaters for listening in and clicking along, and blogtalkradio.com provides our radio, chat, and the video services. Kenny Schneider is the Chicken Whisperer and the creator of the show. And, of course, the wind beneath his wing, our wings and his wings as he flies down to Orlando for his book tour and work with Tractor Supply on the tour. There's no show tomorrow, so we'll miss you, but we will see you Monday. I'm Pat Forman, and from all of us, absolutely all of us, may the flock be with you. Quoth the chicken evermore. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Oh.